Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, welcome to this week's Pinken.com Norwich City podcast. We are coming to you after a rare FA Cup success. Not that rare this year, though, because it's the second of 2020, of course, winning 2-1 at Burnley. Also coming to you on Future Radio 107.8 FM, I am your host, Dave Freezer, and I'm joined by, as ever, Paddy Davitt, Connor Southwell, Tony Thrussell. It's not on purpose that we've got Pink teeing up the Pinken podcast, but it's a nice coincidence.
Dave, I think Tony's making hand signals. He wants to sing along to this tune. in your own time.
Teeing up Paddy Davitt.
Yeah, you'll be waiting a long time, my friend.
Well, he's cheered up now. He's just been moaning about cream eggs being smaller. So
now, that is disgraceful.
Bit of a disgrace, isn't
it? That is
it, really?
Disgraceful. Cadbury should hang their head in shame. That's appalling.
Unbelievable. But if they want to send us some, that's fine. But teeing up the start of the pod, we want to say hello to our Finnish audience, because we've got some new stats through about the show this week. And traditionally, the US is our second biggest listenership, but Finland, thanks to Mr. Pookie, no doubt, has moved into second place. Of course, mainly our listenership is in the UK, but Antoni, you worked in Finland for a bit as well, so you're going to welcome our Finnish listeners to the show, aren't you?
Moi mitä kuuluu.
Which means?
Hi, how are you?
Hopefully, that's what it means.
I've got one more as well. Olet Kaunis, which is, you are beautiful.
All our listeners are beautiful, Tony.
That's all they need to know, or need to answer.
Excellent. So, well, thank you very much for listening. If you are in Finland or anywhere in the world, in fact, while we're on it, we always enjoy, if you want to drop a message to the Pinken Twitter account, let us know where you're listening from.
Any listeners from Oulu, that's where I was in Finland, that's North Finland, so any listeners from there, shout out to them.
What were you doing? You were working on something to do with football as well when you're in Finland, weren't you?
Yeah, they would be Kakkonen, which is third tier, right. Second division, because you've got Premiership, which is Veikkausliiga, and then the Ukkonen, which is the first division, Championship, Kakkonen, basically Uksi Kaksi, 1-2. I do know quite a bit, actually.
I have no idea what you just said.
The club was JS Hercules, who are in the Kakkonen. And, it was based in Oulu. They're probably... Because one club went out of business, so they're now the second biggest team in Oulu, behind AC Oulu.
There you go. Right. Well, welcome, Finnish listeners. And we do appreciate you listening. But let's talk Turf Moor, let's talk Burnley. We sort of travelled up this weekend, not really in hope or anything, really, didn't we? We just sort of thought, let's hope for something good to talk about.
Connor will back me here. I said they'd win.
You did.
I did say they'd win. And I was...
I didn't want a replay. That's all I didn't want.
Yeah, same massively.
But Burnley didn't want a replay the way they played that last 20 minutes.
We did get new surroundings, though. New stay.
Yep, we ditched Stoke as our overnight stay last night, and we stayed near Doncaster. And I think... It wasn't bad, was it? It's going to stay in the running for future overnight stays.
Given they've won now, I think it's luck, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, have we won a game?
You can't suddenly change it.
Have we won a game when we've stayed at Stoke?
Yeah, Everton. And I remember I went for a run on the morning of the Everton game as well. I haven't since. So maybe we're being a little bit over superstitious. But there we go. Norwich are in the fifth round of the FA Cup for just the second time in 13 seasons. Plenty of changes on both sides. Daniel Farker made 7, Sean Dyche made 5 for Burnley. And Paddy, if I come to you first, just overall on the game, it would have been a bit of a travesty if Norwich didn't win, given how many chances they had.
Yeah, I mean, double figures again. And my fear at half time when they went in 0-0 was, we've been here before, as in so many chances created, and inevitably they haven't taken them. And you feared then that Burnley couldn't couldn't be as bad as they were, which is no disrespect on Norwich, but I thought they were very lax in a tempo from them, was very poor. And Daniel Farke mentioned that was the message he gave to the boys at half time, that don't expect Burnley to be as sort of compliant as they were. But fair play, because we've seen it go the other side, notably Wolves, Sheffield United at Carrow Road. That first 10 or 15 after half time, it was Norwich who came out of the blocks, went 1-0 Grant Hanley, 2-0 Dermich. Okay, they got one back, but thereafter, I didn't really feel Norwich were under any pressure at all. It was a reasonably comfortable passage to the fifth round, and that's not a place they've been too often before in the last 13 seasons. So, a lot of changes, but I still felt it was a step forward in the context of where they've been in the last month or so, which is nice, cohesive, confident almost. And ultimately, the difference today was obviously they got the result, and unfortunately for the Premier League scenario, there was no points at stake. But for me, it's another positive step forward. And yeah, let's see what the draw brings Monday night.
Connor, could you just pull up on your phone the story that I've done for our website about the fifth round draw, because that's got the list of teams. So we're recording on Saturday night, just to set the scene, as we have done a few times now. We're at Blythe Services, back near Doncaster sort of way, on the A1. On our way back to Norfolk on Saturday night. So all the FA Cup ties for the weekend haven't been played yet. But we know Norwich will be number 11 in Monday night's draw, which is at the weird time of 7:19 p.m. for some reason. And it'll be on the One Show on BBC One, which, of course, I'm sure you never miss, just like me. I watch it every night. But, Connor, let's just run us through who Norwich potentially could get at this stage.
Yeah, so you said we're recording on Saturday, so Tranmere and Manchester United, of course, yet to play. I think Chelsea beat Hull in the end, didn't they? So it would be Tranmere or Manchester United, Chelsea, Southampton or Tottenham, Sheffield Wednesday, Bournemouth or Arsenal, Northampton or Derby, Leicester City, Sheffield United, Reading or Cardiff, West Brom, Coventry or Birmingham, Manchester City or Fulham, Newcastle or Oxford, Portsmouth, and finally Shrewsbury Town or Liverpool.
Right, so there's plenty of interesting potential ties in there and plenty of difficult ties in there potentially. Of course, we'll have the news for you straight away at pinkin.com with all the details you need to know. That will be, as things stand, will be between the Leicester home game on Friday night, which I think is the 28th of February, and then the away game at Sheffield United the following Saturday. So it's the first week of March. It'll be midweek. And there will not be a replay. From this stage onwards, it goes straight to extra time. Tony, what are you laughing at?
Well, you've just said it's sandwiched between those games. You know what's going to happen. Sheffield Wednesday away in the Cup, then Sheffield United away a few days later. That is what's going to happen.
Sheffield's not too bad, is it? It's quite an easy journey from Norfolk. I don't know, it's, 3 hours? But the other thing is that Leicester could still get in the League Cup final. So that game on the Friday night, the weekend before the FA Cup tie, could yet be postponed. So we shall see, but one step at a time. Just nice to have some FA Cup enjoyment to enjoy, because as we were saying in the car, that by the time the first week of March rolls round, Norwich will have played a few more games and we will probably know their fate by that point.
Yeah, I think it keeps the season exciting for a couple of months now, because there's something to look forward to, dependent on probably the draw as well, because if that's an away game at Anfield, then I don't think that's going to go down too well. I think to sort of repeat what Paddy said, it's today continued the increase in confidence and increase in cohesion. I think, as we've seen in Norwich City performances, Tottenham was very good, albeit
saxophone solo.
Tuning,
that's
what better way to compliment my dulcet tones? Tottenham was very good, albeit they didn't get the points that perhaps their performance deserved. Bournemouth, of course, they won, and so I think this caps off a really good week in terms of performances. Maybe less so in terms of points. Obviously, this was a cup game, but it just helps with momentum, I think, especially when they've got to go to St James's Park next week. And again, we were speaking in the car about how big a game that is, and it does feel pretty massive in terms of their hopes for Premier League survival, particularly given the run they have leading up to that FA Cup fifth round tie. But if it's a home tie, which hopefully it is, then I think Norwich will fancy their chances. And I suppose the other side of that is, if their fate is pretty much sealed at that point, then it gives Daniel Farke an opportunity to really go for it in the FA Cup and play a strong team. I think what I would say about today, and it's probably a compliment to the Norwich players that were out there, is that although they made, what was it, seven changes, they didn't really look like a team that had made seven changes. I think Burnley looked a little bit clunky. There were a few rusty performances in there individually, but I think as a team, in terms of structure and the way they played, was probably quite positive, actually. So, yeah, plenty to be cheerful about, of course, as we look ahead to Newcastle next week.
Yeah, so in the last seven games, including the FA Cup, that's what, three wins, two draws, two defeats. So, you know, that's not bad form overall, really. One of them's against Preston. And again, I did feel like today was similar to Preston in the way that it certainly wasn't the intensity of a Premier League game, was it? It was, you could feel that there wasn't a tension in the game. The players were just able to sort of go all out attack. There was loads of chances in the game, wasn't there? But let's take a step back to the team then, as far as Norwich is concerned. Those seven changes. Ralph Fairman comes in goal. Sam Byron switches to right back. Hanlon Zimmerman continue in central defence, as he expected. And Jamal Lewis coming in at left back. Tom Tribal and Mario Vrancic start in central midfield. Lucas Rupp continues on the right wing. Marcus Stiepermann comes into the number 10 role, O'Neill Hernandez on the left wing, and Josip Dermich finally gets his first start. And anybody really sort of, when, as we start to turn our attentions to Newcastle and that big game in the Premier League, anybody really that came in who you can see sort of pushing their way into that starting 11?
No, not for this week, coming weekend. Now, obviously, at this stage, we don't know how Emi Buendia will pull up and whether he'll be available. If he's not, then I think what we've seen from today again, following on from Tottenham, is Lucas Rupp will do a job for you down the right hand side. Not saying he's a similar player, he definitely isn't a similar player to Buendia, but I thought we saw a little bit more of him in an attacking sense against Burnley. Yeah. Neat and tidy, and on the same wavelength when Duda came on as well, and Dermich, I thought he seemed to understand what he was trying to do in terms of stretching the play in the second half. So no, I don't think necessarily subject to fitness that you'd knock out any of the lads who maybe were on duty at Tottenham, for example, the last Premier League game. But for Daniel Farker particularly as well, I think what you'll find in the interim, and he touched on this after the United game, is the competition level goes up a notch now, because you've got minutes into Dermich. Ralph Farman played his first game in a long time and made one very good save from Jay Rodriguez early on and couldn't really be blamed for the goal. Mario Vrancic has come back again and shown what he's all about today. So there's fringe players, if you want to call them that, and not try and be too derogatory, will have got a few minutes under their belt, and I think you'll see that edge in training during the week now, alongside the fact that there'll be a feel-good factor around the place, and that can only be healthy moving into that Newcastle game, I think.
Okay. Just to emphasise how many chances there were in the first half, I normally, on my laptop, just make notes for my video verdict, which goes on our websites and on YouTube, and I just try to stick to the big moments, because obviously I don't have time to go for a whole match report. But this was the first half notes that I made. First minute, Dermich wide. Second minute, Dermich bar but offside. 6th minute, Fairman denies Rodriguez. 13th, Fairman parries Brady's shot behind. 15th minute, Tarkowski denies Byram off the line. 17th minute, Joe Hart denies O'Neill Hernandez. 23rd minute, Tarkowski denies Vrancic. 27th, Hart denies Rupp. 31st, Tarkowski clips the bar with a header. 37th, Dermich blasts just wide. That was all significant moments in the first half. It was ridiculous that it was 0-0 and that Norwich weren't in the lead. But the one that I think we talked about most since we've left the ground, Tony, is that opening one just seconds in for Josip Dermich. He really didn't take a great chance there, did he?
Yeah, it's almost one of those where people say the chance came too early, almost as if he wasn't expecting to be through with a chance like that within 9 seconds. I mean, whether we would finish it that early in a game,
I don't know.
I mean, we all were kind of shocked that he didn't get it on target, at least. You'd back Pukki to score that. And didn't someone ask in your live blog about Ida if you would have put that away?
Yeah, someone asked me to look into my crystal ball. and you have to say, based on the Preston performance, you think Ida probably would have put that away. So as you say, perhaps it just came so early for Domic that he wasn't ready. But given that he's a Switzerland international and stuff, to not even test the keeper when he's played through clean through like that is poor. The one when he hit the bar was offside anyway, so I suppose we can kind of overlook that one. But the rest of those chances in that first half, Connor, that they had to be taken, didn't they? I guess Byram's one off the line, the biggest one.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm amazed Sam Byram hasn't scored a goal for Norwich City, some of the chances he's had this season. But no, I tweeted at half time in terms of what it was like. I mean, Norwich have almost followed a pattern in terms of their first half performances. In some cases, they've actually got an opening goal and have failed to get that second goal. But today it was, in the first half at least, really struggling to get that first goal. And it just kind of seemed to match with the pattern of this season, or particularly December, where we saw a lot of that, of Norwich playing well in the first half, creating a lot of chances, perhaps scoring a goal, and then the second half completely collapsing and conceding and almost losing ground in the game. And that was kind of the pattern this was following. But fortunately, one thing they did have in their favour all afternoon is they looked really lively on the counter-attack. And I think that Rupp helped that, because he did offer, maybe not raw pace, but he certainly offered energy, which perhaps he showed a willingness to go and support Dermot and go and support Stiepermann. Hernandez as well is always lively with the ball at his feet and is able to progress it up the pitch. So, it was an interesting one. I was kind of expecting a similar pattern, as I said, of what we would see in the second half, but thankfully it didn't transpire that way. But yeah, to some of those chances, I mean, James Tarkowski I thought was brilliant today in terms of his defensive duty, in fairness.
They needed two of him, didn't they?
Yes, they did, yeah. I think it's fair to say Kevin Long certainly wasn't in the same category. But yeah, there was Byram off the line. There was Pukki off the line, wasn't there, as well, late on in stoppage time, which I think was Tarkowski as well. So he was brilliant, and sometimes you have to praise defenders. But yeah, I think if that was a Premier League game, and if there were points on the line, then Norwich would certainly have hoped to have converted probably two, if not three, of those chances, because they fall into the category of being clear cut, I think.
Yeah, and unfortunately that's something we've been speaking about far too much this sort of middle third of the season. They have missed far too many chances. I mean, Tottenham, of course, we'll have a quick reflection on that before we close the show, because obviously that was midweek and we haven't had the chance to talk about that on the pod. But let's talk about the goals. They do get going. Grant Hanley heads in a brilliant free kick from Mario Vrančić, curling in, out muscles Long, I think it was, yeah, wasn't it? And proper centre-back's header, really. What we've been not seen enough of, really, probably you could argue for most of Daniel Farke's time. But for Hanley, his first of the season, his first since August 2018, during the 4-3 home defeat to West Brom in the Championship at the start of last season. So that is an important thing that needs to happen now, isn't it, for other players to take some of that goal dependency off Pukki.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, no two ways about it. Because I think it's unrealistic to expect that man just to solely, and he's not available at the minute, but Buendia does need to step up, and if he does, then he then goes from potential to really, really blossoming Premier League player. And Hernandez, you touched on him, he's not offered enough, you know, going across midfield areas, McLean, Tete, all of them really. So in that environment, if you've got a centre back who can do what Grant Hanley did there, brilliant header, just the desire and the appetite to go meet that ball, a predatory striker's type of instinct, and Joe Hart wasn't going to be stopping that, because I mean, when he connected, he was only about 7-8 yards out, and Paul Chesterton, our photographer, has got brilliant frames of that. You know, he towered above two or three Burnley players there, and that was always going in the back of the net. Great ball from Mario, very rare as well. How often are we talking about Norwich scoring from set pieces? That's a facet that they haven't been good enough at in the Premier League. And then, as I say, the important thing for me, because we definitely haven't seen this often enough, is they got the first one. How often have they got their noses in front? This time around they got a second one, and by getting that, ultimately that's what's got them over the line.
That seems like an apt moment to bring in a bit of audio from Norwich City captain Grant Hanley. We spoke to him after the game to get his reaction to how it felt to be back on the score sheet.
No, you know, we set our standards every day, and it doesn't matter whether we're training or we're in the league or we're in the cup. We've got our standards, and that's the standards that we need to meet. And the demands we need to make on ourselves, and I think, you know, today was no difference. And I think the biggest thing from today is probably you know, we take confidence with that, but we can take confidence in our character as well, because, you know, we played here in the league and it wasn't a nice experience. We got bullied a wee bit, but I'd say today, you know, we showed up and we won our individual battles, and then we earned the right to play our football. And that's the biggest thing for me, that we earned the right to play, and then we went on and played our style of football and we dominated the game.
You were all keen to sort of help take the pressure off the team a bit up front as well with goals from the rest of the team?
No, I think so. It's, you know, it's something that we should do better at, really, you know, especially with the if we set plays, the quality we've got, and the, you know, look at Mario's deliveries, you know, it's second to none. So we should be doing better, and, you know, it's nice to get a start, and, you know, hopefully we can start chipping them in more.
How did it feel to score the West Brom game, wasn't it, August 2018 last time?
It's been a while. Like I said, scoring at that end in front of those fans, it gave me a bit of stick. It was nice.
So FA Cup fifth round, they're in midweek now, no more replays, but I guess you just want to go as far as you can and enjoy this competition.
No, of course. You know, it's especially when you get into the later rounds, you know, it's a good feeling, and like I said, at this stage of the season, it gives you a bit of confidence to kick on, and you know, we want to go as far as we can, and that's the way it is. And I think the most important thing is, like I said, we've set our standards, and whatever we're in, we're going to give it all.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So, yeah, that's what Grant Hanley had to say after the game. He was getting boos before kickoff as well, wasn't he? Because he's a former Blackburn player, so there was quite a bit of satisfaction. Tony, that game at Newcastle next week, I mean, you sort of you do follow Newcastle as well, don't you?
So, fan.
you are, and of course, he used to play.
Can't you tell by the accent?
You can tell. Hanley used to play for the club, didn't he? So he's going to be fired up for that one, and particularly because. And that will be the last game before Ben Godfrey comes back from his suspension. So if Hanley can add goals, then that really adds a sort of fresh decision to what Daniel Farke's got to weigh up once Godfrey's back. Because we did see against Bournemouth how important Ben is to the passing game, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing Norwich haven't had this season, is goals from anywhere, really, other than Cantwell and Pukki. So you throw in a centre-back. Newcastle are a good example. They had a spell where, like, 9 out of 10 of their goals in a row were all from the centre-backs, because they play 3 at the back. So if Norwich had Hanley chipping in with 5 a season, or Godfrey 5 a season, that's what you want, isn't it? Because there's nothing sweeter than winning 1-0 from a centre-back nodding in from a corner, is there, really?
Sean
Dyche Chelsea
would
used to
agree.
Do all the time.
Sean Dyche would agree.
Yeah.
The EDP editor, Dave Powells, would very much agree, I can assure you, because he is a rugged centre-back, having played football alongside Dave quite a few times. The one that always stands out in my mind in those terms is Christoph Zimmermann at Millwall last season. That was a real powerful, yeah, proper header. So what you're saying is Florian Lejeune's overhead kick for Newcastle, that's what Hanley's got to do.
Well, if he did that, then we've all got to do something, I think. If he scored an overhead kick against Newcastle.
Connor's got to do a Jaeger bomb, not a pint.
But just on Hanley, we said that Liverpool was his chance, that early stage. That was his final chance to sort of get in there. And then he obviously picked up an injury, then he came back.
Well, he already had the injury as well, didn't he, at that point? He was sort of inhibited.
So I think this might be the third time we've said this season that this is his chance to grasp the shirt for the rest of the season. So hopefully, maybe luck will fall his place.
Yeah, I'll just follow on that. I think since he's been back from injury, actually, he's been pretty impressive. I think he can probably consider himself a bit hard done by that he was dropped for that Bournemouth game. Because
Daniel said something similar to that as well,
absolutely,
didn't he?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think if this is my personal opinion, but I certainly think if you compare perhaps the impact that he's made since he's come back from injury and compare that to perhaps the one that Zimmermann has made, I'd probably say there's an argument to say Hanley's contributed a bit more. And yeah, it was nice today because he gave Norwich a presence in both boxes, which they haven't really had, particularly defending set plays, but equally attacking them. I mean, it, let's be frank, it was a game that suited him because he could use his physicality. He could pretty much get in an arm wrestle with Chris Wood and use his physical dominance. He obviously likes to win those duels aerially. I thought he was tremendous today, and I think he's been pretty good since he's come back, actually. And I think that's a testament to him, really, because he's had a lot of criticism and a lot of people and probably us as well probably point out his limitations more than his strengths, and I think today he certainly highlighted his strengths for me.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. So that's 1-0, 51st minute. 6 minutes later, they make it 2-0. All of a sudden, things are looking pretty cushy. Joe Hart denies Lucas Rupp after another really nice delivery from Vrančić from the left. Rupp looks like he's hooked it over him, but Hart claws it away and it falls perfectly for Josip Drmić to get a confidence-boosting goal. Only his second in Norwich colours and in his first start. But overall, I think it's probably fair to say, Pad, that he was reasonably rusty, wasn't he?
Yeah, he looked like a lad who needed game time just to bring that sharpness into his play. I thought he did quite a lot of good things, particularly how he was dropping deeper in the first half and giving the centre-backs a problem, and a couple of lovely balls he slipped into the overlapping Byram. In fact, I think the one that was cleared off the line, he was pivotal to that move. So he's definitely got quality. I mean, the reality is he's at Norwich because he's had some chronic setbacks through injury, and that's limited a career which looked to be heading to the very top in his early 20s. Look at the clubs he was linked with, look at the money he went for in his career. So it's only a summer or so since he was playing against England in the Nations League third place playoff of the finals. In fact, he missed a penalty, didn't he? Jordan Pickford saved it. Yeah. So that's the pedigree of player Norwich have got on their books, but and he's not the only one, but just injuries have inhibited his ability. And if you could just said this to Daniel after the game, and if you could keep the guy fit now and healthy between now and the end of the season, I think he would contribute. There's no two ways about it, because it is unrealistic to expect Pukki just to shoulder this burden now week in, week out. You can now see the toll it's taking. You know, he's missed a few games, he's had a few injuries, he doesn't quite look as razor sharp as he was at the start of the season for me. And is it any wonder, given the workload he's got for club and country? So Drmić could emerge as a very, very useful go-to option, because there's no doubt he has ability. And yes, that was a very routine finish, but you have to have the striker's instinct to anticipate that could happen and be there. It's easy enough then when the ball drops to you. If you haven't made that trigger move, and let's be honest, a guy who used to be part of this squad, Denis Shrabeni, I'm pretty sure if he'd have been playing today, he wouldn't have been in the six-yard box, because he didn't really convince me he had that top-level movement and anticipation. So there's a player there, but if he can't stay fit and healthy, then unfortunately we'll still be talking about him in terms of, well, it's not really a move that's worked out, and that would be a shame for all concerned, because as has been proven with Byram again, Norwich's recruitment, there's been a lot of criticism of the recruitment they did last summer, setting aside the financial elements to that they didn't spend enough money. But, you know, I wouldn't necessarily write off Drmić, it's just that, and who could have foreseen that he would continue to have these injury problems, really. But, you know, let's not rule him out completely. He might come in, and if they do keep this fight going in the Premier League, there might be a game or two where he just comes off the bench and grabs a goal and uses that instincts, and that could be the difference in the final analysis. Could come down to the odd game here or there. And if he does something that's really notable in what Farke's calling the little miracle, then we'll all look back on that as a very good piece of business.
Yeah, I think you could describe him similarly to Marcus Diefenbeck today, in that there was a mixture of good and bad, but there were plenty of effort there, wasn't there? So, and interestingly, I mean, we sort of talked about this briefly, but we won't focus on it for the minute, because we could have plenty of time to talk about relegation, sadly, if things don't go well in the next few weeks. But should Norwich go down to the Championship and Team and Bookie gets a move, you know, it does well at Euro 2020, there is a good chance that they will be able to keep hold of Josip Dermić because of his injury problems. And you never know, he could be the Bookie of the Championship next season. But let's park that for the time being. Steepman should have made it 3-0 straight afterwards, shouldn't he? Fired, or it was deflected just wide, but he should have been scoring, really. And then the goal that Burnley pulled back is kind of a comedy of errors, isn't it?
If we didn't laugh, we'd cry, I think. It's one of those, isn't it? They've had about six opportunities to clear the ball. In the end, it eventually works its way out to Erik Pieters. And I mean, it's a fantastic finish, to be fair, yeah, to him on the volley. First time, straight in the bottom corner. Brilliant, fantastic. It proved to be little more than a consolation in the end. But yeah, for me, it just goes to show, and you touched upon discussing relegation there, and I certainly don't want to speak about it. But and it's the point you made earlier, actually, the point that if they do go back down and they are sort of tasked with coming back at the first attempt, then they are going to have to add a bit more steel and make themselves a bit more defensively resilient, because however you put it, this is a team that concedes too many goals. It's why they are where they are at the moment. And particularly when the momentum swings, I think, as we've seen in games, Wolves, Sheffield United off the top of my head, both at Carrow Road, when the momentum swings and they can't quite manage those periods to ride them out and ensure that they're still either in the game or certainly in a position where they can extract points from it. So I think that's going to be important going forward. It was just a calamity of errors, really. But thankfully, we don't have to dissect it any more than that, because they won the tie, and that's the most important thing.
Thankfully, after that, Norwich did see it out reasonably well. Yeah. Daniel Farke rolled through his substitutes. He brought Pukki, McLean and Duda on. Thank you, Pad.
I did call that, yeah. Very rare I do get one right. I just thought Steepman in that 10-15-minute spell was very poor. He was giving the ball away.
Well, him and Dermish looked pretty knackered, didn't they?
Well, yeah, but for me, that kind of symptomatic of him in this level, I think. He's not... Don't need to open that can of worms, but he doesn't... And the contrast when Duda came on, that instant control and ability to see... Yeah, just quality, unfortunately, is what it boils down to. And that's why, ultimately, they brought the guy in, and Daniel's been open and honest. He says he loves his players, but haven't really cut it, those ones who've had a go in the number 10. And that was, yeah, that was crying out for me. And as you rightly say, DF, you know, he does get a lot of stick for his substitutions, but I thought he got that one spot on today.
Yeah, and he was actually pointing them into the corners as well, wasn't he? There was actual game management going on in those final stages.
Yeah, and that's a phrase I used. I thought they were very good allied to, maybe we said tongue-in-cheek, walking away from Turf Moor. Maybe Burnley didn't fancy a replay and played like a team who didn't fancy a replay in the sort of final 5 minutes or so. But no, I thought Norwich saw it out with few alarms, and there was a parallel there for me with when Tottenham got their noses in front midweek. Norwich didn't really lay a glove on them, did they, thereafter? And Mourinho talked about the game management, and it's good to see a Norwich side sort of practicing a little bit as well.
Yeah, and just to finish on with the FA Cup game as well, is the attendance, which is only just over 8,000, wasn't it? Turf Moor holds 22,000-ish. They got just under 20,000 when they beat Leicester 2-1 in the league the week before. But Tony, you had a look at the ticket prices for this one, didn't you? And that possibly explains why there was only sort of 8,000 there, which is sad for the FA Cup, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, in comparison, going back to Newcastle, where they put their prices at a tenner and sold out, I mean, the cups, both cups, have increasingly become like a side piece now. People don't really care, but you went through all those chances. That is an entertaining game.
Yeah, oh, it was, yeah.
Put a full crowd in there and suddenly it's a really good cup game. But because there was only 8,000 there, it's just going to be forgotten in history, isn't it, really?
And what were the prices? It was £20 for a general sale and £15 for season ticket holders, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Season ticket holders got discount, so not terrible. But I mean, they're obviously looking... Well, if we get 8,000 in on those prices versus double that on the minimum prices, then what's the difference? It's business at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah, they could have just cut it down a little bit more. And the atmosphere in the stadium, the Burnley fans really just didn't seem up for it, did they? And they were quite quick to get on their team's back and moan about it.
Yeah, they to me, almost embodied Deitch's feelings about the competition. I don't think that he particularly come full time. I don't think he was too fussed at the fact they were out of the competition. I know that obviously they've won a couple of games in the last week, and that sort of pushed them into a position now where it looks like they're going to stay up, but I don't think that he is too bothered, I suppose, about that competition, because ultimately it's always going to be about survival for Burnley and staying in the Premier League. And if they do that for him, that's job done. What I would say about the attendance is, I think it was, I'm going up with my unofficial attendance, but it seemed to be about 1,000 strong Norwich fans who travelled up for Norfolk. I'd say that's some effort considering the distance. There was also, I can't remember the exact numbers for Preston, but it was around a similar number, wasn't it? So when you consider those two ties, I mean, that's incredible support for, especially considering people are saying the competition is dying. I think that Norwich City supporters have definitely proven that they've got a thirst for it, and I thought they were tremendous. Obviously, they're patches again, because it's difficult to sort of chant through 90 minutes if you don't have anything to bounce off, and that was kind of what it was like. But they did at the end. There was some nice scenes with Farker, as we've become accustomed to after a win. But to come all that way, I think they deserve to see a win, and I think they'll certainly go home glad that they did see that game today, because as Tony said, it was a very entertaining game of football.
One thing you do always get with these games in the northwest, of course, is the Northern Canaries, which is a strong supporters group. But we did see a flag before the game as well, didn't we, with the Dundee Canaries, which is not one I've seen before. So fair play. That's you know, Norwich fans pop up all over the world, as we know. How many times, I'm sure, if you guys listening as Norwich fans, have you been on holiday and you've seen another Norwich fan wearing a shirt or something? I remember my dad telling me that he went on holiday to the Canary Islands and then thought it would be, you know, fitting to wear his Norwich shirt on a day that they went on, like a bit of a trek on like the base of some hills or something like that, some kind of lengthy walk, and he's on this path in the middle of nowhere, and what does he see coming down the path from the other end but someone else who'd had the same idea and thought they'd wear their Norwich City shirt because they're in the Canary Islands.
That reminds me of my lucky Chelsea shirt I used to have as a kid. I think I was on holiday at a zoo with my parents.
Your parents took you on holiday to a zoo?
Well, we were on holiday somewhere. We went to we went to a zoo.
Trying to get them kept in.
We got a new one for you.
No, we're on holiday, and one of the activities, we went to a zoo.
Right.
And I went to get an ice cream with my sister, and...
And your parents were gone. Yeah.
And the person serving the ice cream supported Chelsea, and I was wearing my Chelsea shirt, so they gave me an extra free scoop.
Why did I not surprise that food would lay at the centre of this story?
So that was my lucky Chelsea shirt.
Okay. Why did you have a lucky Chelsea shirt? You're a Newcastle fan.
No, because that was luck. That's why it became lucky.
Right.
I just had a big collection of football shirts when I was younger.
Okay. They probably won the league that year, did they?
No, it was Autoglass. It was proper old one, like
FA Cup team, and that's Hullet and Viali.
Yeah. I'm a young avid shirt collector.
Well, there we go. what were we even talking about before it went down that route? But well, anyway, I digress. We were putting. The supporters, yeah, the Dundee Canaries, we salute you for getting to Turf Moor. And yeah, well done to the Norwich fans. And they were really enjoying it at the end. Great reception, enjoying the Farker waves, as you must after a win as a Norwich City fan. So a nice positive day, again, provided to us by the FA Cup for us in the media and for the fans and for the players. it's nice because it has been a tough season at times, so let's enjoy it as much as we can. And the one thing we can say is that if Norwich get a home tie in the fifth round, they will most certainly be more than 8,000 there. I would be shocked if there was less than 20,000 at Carrow Road for a fifth round tie, whoever it's against. So different worlds, we can say.
From true crime to football, Brexit to folklore. For more great podcasts from Archant, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archant.
Talking stadiums, we went to a rather nice one on Wednesday night, didn't we? It's been a busy old week. The Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, 62,000 with its bright lights. Paddy, what did you make of our visit?
Yeah, we like that. We like that. We didn't partake in these self-filling beer glasses. I'll put that on record.
Yeah.
Far too professional. But, yeah, the only downside on that evening was the result, because the performance was excellent for the main. But, yeah, in terms of a stadium, I mean, they're trailing it as the best football stadium in the world, and it probably is, given it's literally in its infancy. But from our point of view, what we need to make our job pleasurable. It had everything and more. And I'll pass you over to Tony Frussell, the culinary expert, who can talk about the food.
Well, let's not talk about the free food that we're lucky enough to get. but it was weird, wasn't it, being in the press room? It was like a posh restaurant or something. An airport lounge. Yeah, that's quite a good... The whole place, to me, felt like I was at a concert or an event or something like that. I didn't really, even during the game, didn't really feel like I was at a football match.
No, where we were sitting, you couldn't feel the air. You know, in Burnley today, you could feel that you're outside in the cold, but there it was like you're undercover, you were detached a bit. But
That London, isn't it, boy?
Yeah.
it's always warmer in London.
It was a very touristy atmosphere as well. That's what it felt.
Yeah.
I mean, all of the big clubs, Man United, Arsenal, I'm sure. Who are the other big clubs? I don't know about Liverpool. Would you say?
Yeah, no, I didn't get too much of that at Liverpool, but I suppose there was a lot of hype that night, wasn't it? Because it was the first game and they were celebrating as European champions. But certainly Manchester United, that was noticeable, and at Tottenham. And that is something that I haven't liked about the Premier League. The atmospheres, although last year we were kind of spoiled, weren't we? Because all the games meant something, you know, like the atmosphere at Leeds when Norwich won that one, that was probably the start of that match, was one of the most electric atmospheres that I've ever experienced. So I think comparing Championship atmospheres and Premier League, they are quite different. But 2-1 defeat in the end, Connor, but a positive performance. I certainly felt it. Feels like not everybody has agreed with that, but I really felt that they were unlucky to not get a point.
Oh yeah, they should have got a point, definitely. I don't think there's a case to say that they should have got all three, but certainly a point. And it boils down to, again, doesn't it, those missed chances, because they had so many of those.
He's opened his cream egg already.
Well, the size of it, you'll get through it in about 36. Exactly. I thought they were tremendously unlucky. There's some really nice passages of play. I felt they hurt Tottenham as well in wide areas. They were good in possession. They were good going forward. From open play, they were pretty solid as well. It's a shame, particularly about the second goal, because I mean it ricochets off Zimmerman's leg. He had no right to make the block, I don't think, and for it to loop. I mean, it can loop pretty much anywhere apart from where it does, and Son happens to be waiting at the back post completely unmarked to just nod it in, and that is the fine margins that haven't fell for Norwich City this season. And I think that there is certainly an argument, I've seen it been made in recent days, that Norwich could be the best team to finish bottom in the Premier League if they do finish bottom, but because it just feels like they're so close to where they need to be. And I felt Wednesday night was another example of them being perhaps not as close as they need to be, but I mean, we're talking fractions away from being good enough, but it's another missed opportunity. I mean, it was always going to be a relative free hit because of the expectation that Tottenham have, and certainly with Jose Mourinho and the calibre of players they have, even though they're in a bit of a, maybe rut's a bit strong, but even though they're perhaps lost their way a little bit, there's still expectation, they're still bringing on Christian Eriksen. So Norwich did very well, it was a good performance, and I think that was the main thing. Ultimately, anything they got in terms of a result would have been a bonus. It was just about keeping the confidence and the momentum, and I certainly felt they did that.
Well, I'm looking forward to Newcastle next weekend. There's no doubt about that. I'm really, really intrigued to see what happens. I mean, clearly, if Norwich get a big result, then this season is very much alive and kicking. Tony, marks out of 10 for your cream egg?
Well, it's been a while, so I'm going to say 9. That was really nice.
9?
Yeah.
Considering how fussy you are with food, I'm impressed with that. What were you going to say, sorry?
Set pieces. Newcastle are good at set pieces, so right. Norwich...
Beware.
Yeah, they haven't been good at set pieces defending. Cleaned it up a bit recently, but yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I think that'll do us for this week. Thank you very much for listening, whether you're listening via the Pinkham website or on Future Radio 107.8 FM. We really do appreciate you joining us every week, and we're going to do Newcastle a little bit differently, aren't we? We're going to stay over on the Saturday night, so we'll be able to have a bit more of a relaxed pod. We may even do a slightly longer one, I guess, because we're staying up in a hotel in Newcastle on the Saturday night, but we shall see how things go. Thank you very much. FA Cup draw Monday night. If that hasn't already passed by the time you listen to this, if it has, then head over to pinkin.com to find out who it is.
If it has, then That's a really good draw for Norwich.
Lovely home draw. Isn't it a lovely home draw?
Or, it's a bad draw.
Yeah. Horrible away draw, that, isn't it? Yeah.
Edit as applicable. But once that's out of the way, we will very much worry about Premier League matters and whether Norwich can start the little miracle. As Paddy said earlier, as Daniel Farke has been saying, he believes in miracles. Who sings that? Hot Chocolate, was it?
Don't ask. Yeah. I think Tony should sing that out to end the pod.
Nah, copyright.
Who's going to sing Que Sera Sera?
Oh, yeah, we're going to do that, weren't we? Yeah, we'll save that until they get to Wembley.
The Norwich fans were certainly singing that today. That would be a nice treat, a Wembley trip before the end of the season. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Thank you very much for listening. We'll catch up with you very soon.